invite you to turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. I just want to let you know that we are privileged this morning to have in our presence a lady that as of Thursday will have spent 8 decades on the earth. Happy birthday, Yvonne. Oh, Tuesday. I'm so sorry. I thought you said it was Thursday. Tuesday. She'll be 80 years young, and make sure you say happy birthday to Yvonne if you get a chance today, and encourage her. She has shared with me a number of times that she doesn't always feel the strength that she feels like she would like to have. At 66, I don't feel like I have the strength I would like to have. But praise the Lord, our subject this morning is that our strength is in the Lord. He is our strength. And that's the subject of our message today, at least half of it. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, Paul says, "Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord." And he outlines the points of encouragement and warning that we need for our spiritual warfare. Folks, there is spiritual warfare raging all around us. I've been convinced of this for a number of years. I think we don't see or understand or have any clue as to what's going on in the atmosphere all around us, invisibly, all the time. Satan is at war against the church. He's at war against Jesus Christ. And the demons are fighting the angels. And when they have an opportunity, the demons like to wrestle with us. And so we need to be prepared. Our preparation is the strength that we find in the Lord. We need to appropriate that strength. We're going to talk about that. In verse 11, we're going to talk about the provision. God has given us the full armor of God, His provision. And then when we get down to verses 14 through 17, we're going to talk about the specifics of that armor. Not today, but when we get there, we're going to talk about the specific parts of that armor. But it's our provision in the warfare. The enemy, we need to understand who the enemy is, what he's up to, what kind of an enemy we're facing. So we're going to talk about the enemy, Satan, when we get to verse 11b. And then in verse 12, we're going to talk about the battle itself against Satan's warriors, the demons. And then we're going to talk about the victory in Jesus. Standing firm in the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, 2 points, the preparation and the provision. The preparation for the battle, we must be strong in the Lord. The preparation is the strength that we have in the Lord. Verse 10 again says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." So, it's easy to see that we need His strength, not ours. His strength, the strength of the Christian life, is dependence upon God. Now that goes contrary to everything our culture is teaching us today. When your children go to public school, they are being taught, they are being encouraged to exercise the natural independence they are born with. I was going to say they are being taught independence. They don't need to be taught independence. You take a toddler, and you take a toddler who's trying to write his letters or her letters with a pencil, and you want to help them, and you try to take their hand and the pencil. What do? They pull away. "I'll do it. You know, you leave me alone." That's independence. That is a natural characteristic that we're born with. That's a characteristic of the old man, the old nature, the sin nature, to not need any help. And that's the way we grow up. And that's the way we are as adults. Hello. We think, "I can do this on my own. You know, I don't need to go to church. I've heard that stuff 100 million times. I don't need to read my Bible. I've already read it a few times. You know, I don't need to get on my knees and pray. I can do this." That's wrong. That's wrong. That's what the devil wants. That's the way the devil wants us to think, that I can do this. But the Bible God's word, the authority from heaven says, you need the Lord. You need His strength. You need Him to be at work in you. You can't do this alone. You can't fight against Satan alone. You cannot win over the flesh in your own strength. You cannot do it. It is His strength, not yours. And the strength of the Lord teaches us that we need to be dependent upon God. Any other strength will not stand up against the enemy. And we need to understand very clearly this philosophy that we're fighting against, that we're resisting. In chapter 3, verse 16 of Ephesians, Paul said, he actually prayed. He was praying that God would grant you, give you, supply to you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Where does the Holy Spirit live? He lives in you. You are the body of Christ, and you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God lives in you. And we're to glorify God by allowing the Spirit to do His work living in us, to control the things of our life, because we are in the Lord. As Paul reminds us throughout his letters, and he reminds us here again in verse 10, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the Lord, in relationship to who you are with Him, to Him. You are a son of God, a child of God. You are positionally in Jesus Christ. You are seated in the heavenly places in Christ. You are being blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Your life is hid with God in Christ Jesus. You are in the Lord. That's a formula that Paul keeps coming back to over and over again to remind us who we are as God's children. And so the power is the Lord's power, and it becomes available to us the same way salvation becomes available to us, by faith. By faith. The Bible says it, and we need to believe it, and that should settle it for all of us. The Bible tells us that the strength of the Lord is ours, the power of God is upon us, the Spirit of God is within us, and it's our duty to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and to be weak in spiritual warfare, to be weak in resisting the devil or the flesh or the world. To be weak is sin. Right away, somebody's going to say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Are you telling me that it's a sin just to be weak? How can I help but be weak? I am weak. I was born that way. Spiritually, physically, I'm not strong. I'm weak. You're telling me I need the power of the Lord because I'm weak. And now you're saying it's a sin to be weak? Yes, it's a sin to be weak. Why? Because weakness is the result or the fruit of a lack of dependence upon the Lord. It is not trusting Him. It is not living by faith. And that's a sin. That is a sin of omission. That is a sin of not doing what we should do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Again, the human nature is independence. I can do this. I don't need God. I don't need anybody to help me. I can live the Christian life. I know how to do this. I know what I need to do. That is a sin, because that is an attitude of resistance against the work of God and the Holy Spirit in our lives. Weakness is a sin. The defeated believer tries to serve the Lord in his own wisdom and in his own power. We said His strength, not ours. His strength, number two, is always more than sufficient for the battle. Is God able? Yes. Amen. Yes, He is. We need to know that, and we need to exercise faith in that. We need to trust in that. Jesus told the church of Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. They recognized they had just a little strength. And because they recognized they had just a little strength, they relied on His great strength. And because they recognized the little strength was accompanied by His great strength, Jesus was saying, just a little bit of my strength is enough to preserve you, because the Lord is supernatural in strength. And He gave them the supernatural strength that they needed to be witnesses in Philadelphia. We've talked about that a long time ago. The Church of Philadelphia, there's no condemnation against them. They were witnesses, and they were given great promises of the Lord because they allowed His strength to be flowing through them. Our own strength is never enough to oppose Satan. And when we are strong in the Lord, even a little of His strength is sufficient to win any battle. What does Paul say in Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Through Christ. And it's not the amount of strength that's important, it's the source. Where do we get our strength in the battles against Satan and the flesh and the devil? We get it from the Lord. We get it in the Lord. We get it through the Holy Spirit of God who lives in us. His strength has already won the battle. In the ultimate sense, the church's battle with Satan is already accomplished. It is already won through the crucifixion and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan was destroyed. His power was ultimately destroyed. The power of sin and death. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 56 and 57. Listen, dear friends, we, as I said earlier, we are in a fierce battle. It's a spiritual warfare that's going on today in the hearts of mankind, in the world that we live in. It is a spiritual battle. It's fierce. It's terrible. But we have no reason to be afraid if we are in Christ Jesus. We have no reason to be afraid if we are in Christ Jesus. As I said earlier, our strength comes the same way our salvation comes, according to Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Salvation is by grace through faith. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. We don't do anything to receive it. It's a free gift. God gives us salvation by grace. And we appropriate it. We accept it by faith. So our salvation comes by the grace of God through faith in the promises of God. Our strength comes by the grace of God through faith in the promises of God. Does God promise us strength in spiritual warfare? Again, I love Isaiah's words of God in Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Who will strengthen you? The I Am, the great God, the Jehovah, God of heaven. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. After several years of ministry, young Timothy became fearful of the spiritual warfare. And he faced stronger temptations and trials than he had anticipated. There was powerful opposition against him. And Paul wrote to Timothy saying, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, the dunamis, the dynamic power of God. According to that power, go ahead, take part in the ministry. You're going to be afflicted. You're going to be persecuted. But praise God, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Now, Paul didn't say that to Timothy, but John said that to us. And Paul was saying, appropriate the power of God, Timothy. Don't be afraid. Be powerful. Be full of love. Be of a sound mind. Because God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, not according to what we can do, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And then He said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And again, we're reminded through Oliver B. Green that we have overcome the devil because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. And if it weren't for the power of the Lord, you and I would succumb to the power of Satan. But thank God, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. The power for the spiritual warfare is His power, God's power. It's not of us, it's all of Him. The provision for the spiritual warfare is God's also. It's God's, it belongs to Him. He designed it and He gave it to us. And that provision is the armor. Every good soldier is equipped for battle, and he puts on the armor that is necessary to face the enemy. And in verse 11, Paul's instruction is put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I can't read this passage of Scripture without getting a mental image in my mind. It just comes automatically of the medieval soldier in a full coat of armor from head to foot. This is kind of the picture that we are showing here in Ephesians chapter 6. There is something to protect every part of our body. Spiritually speaking, it is the full armor of God. It is all that we need. And so it is not man-made. It is God-furnished. It is the armor of God. The preposition there, is a preposition that means the armor which belongs to God. You might say, oh, this is my armor. No, it's God's armor. He's just loaning it to you while you're here on earth. He wants it back. No, not really. It's a spiritual thing. And you understand what I'm saying. It is God's armor. And that makes it perfect, doesn't it? If it's something that we designed and created, it would have flaws. That you would find something wrong with it, and it wouldn't hold up under the pressure of battle. But this is God's armor. It is not man-made. It is God-furnished. It is the armor with which we will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. All of them. Not a few of them. All of them. It's supernatural, and it's all-powerful. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, for we walk not in the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We talked about carnal last week. They're not fleshly. They're not man-made. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If we were preaching through 2 Corinthians right now, I'd have to take about 3 weeks to explain those two verses. There's a lot there. There's an awful lot there. But just to say for today, it is supernatural and all-powerful armor. And it is to be put on. This is something that I really want to emphasize, because this is something that we forget. And this is something that, thank God, He gently reminded me of as I was preparing this message, because Sometimes we get the idea that I have to get up every day and get dressed to go into battle. I have to put on the armor every single day. And if I get up and I'm too weak to put on the armor, then what? I'm in real trouble, right? And if I get up and, you know, I'm running late for work and I don't have time to put on my spiritual armor, I'm going to have a real problem with spiritual battles today, right? That's a wrong concept. That's the way Satan wants us to think. When you got saved and when you became mature in Christ and you became a soldier of Jesus Christ, when you decided to put on that armor by faith, God gave it to you by grace just like He did salvation. Listen, when you wake up every morning, do you have to get saved again? No. New Maryland shaking your head, no. Praise God, amen? Praise God, it's once and for all. It is eternal. Your spiritual armor, you put it on, try getting it off. Ain't going to happen. You cannot take it off. It's a once and for all thing. When you put it on, it's on. This is not a continuous action verb here. This is a once and for all action. You put it on, it's on. Praise God. Carries the idea of permanence. The full armor of God is not something to be put on and taken off occasionally. It is something to be put on, and once you do, it is permanent. The armor of God is to be the Christian's lifelong companion. It provides you with God's divine power, which is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, says Jude in chapter 1, verse 24. The armor of God equips the believer to be able to stand firm, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's an important word. Very important word. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Put on the gospel armor. And I don't remember the rest of the words. So stand, that ye may be able to stand. It's an important word. In verse 13, Paul goes on to say, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. This is a good thing to remember in times when we feel weak. Remember, Paul says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. But God is faithful. Who will not suffer, He will not allow you to be tempted or tested above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. God is faithful. Who gave you the spiritual armor? God did. Is He going to leave you defenseless? No, He's not, because He already clothed you with armor. And it's we're going to see later in our study, it's not just defensive armor, it's also offensive. It's also offensive. The Lord is always there with us. The Lord is always with us. Hebrews 7:25, He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us. The Lord Jesus Christ is praying for us continuously and constantly. He said in Matthew 8:28-20, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. David exclaimed in Psalm 46:7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And again, my favorite verse, Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. There was a renewed spark given to me this week as I thought about that verse. I never looked at it that way before that I can remember. But not only is God saying, I am, fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee, but it is the I am who is with me. The great Jehovah God, the Almighty, all-powerful God. What more do I need? He is my all in all. He is my strength. He is my help. He is the right hand of my righteousness. I said the word stand is very important. The word stand. You've heard me say this a number of times in preaching is the word histemi. Histemi, in some translations, is translated stand firm. Stand firm. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the wiles, the devices, the deceitful tricks of the devil. Stand firm. It's a military term. Paul often uses military terms in his writing because, well, you can't quite ignore all the Roman soldiers everywhere you look in Paul's day. Fully armed, fully clothed with armor, fully equipped for battle, always ready to fight. They were everywhere you looked, patrolling the streets, standing on the street corners, infiltrating public buildings. So Paul uses the military term in our battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. He says, stand firm. Stand up strong. Hold your position. That's what the word means. Hold your position. It has the idea of holding a critical position while you're under attack. While you're under attack. A Roman soldier was trained to find his place on the battlefield and draw an imaginary circle about 6 feet in diameter around him and defend that circle to the death. He would fight any enemy that tried to enter that circle, and he would fight to the death. That's the idea of the word stand. There's a lot there. Stand. Hold that position. Don't give it up. And that's what we're to do against our flesh, against the devil, against the world. We are to stand firm against it. The enemy, Satan himself, and his demons in verses 11 and 12, will cover them, Lord willing, in our next message. But by way of invitation this morning, I'd like to go back for just a moment to a point I made earlier when I asked you to listen carefully to this. I said, Jesus has already won the battle. His death, burial, and resurrection has already earned him the victory. And in that point, I said, we are in a fierce and terrible war, but we have no reason to be afraid if we are in Christ Jesus. Talking to the believers about their new relationship with Christ, Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, your life is hid with Christ in God. Satan can't find you. He might be looking for you, but he can't find you to the point where he can take you out of the body of Christ, because you're hidden. You're hidden from his, not only his view, but you're hidden from his access to you. And how can I say this with assurance? I can say it because the Word of God, we read it this morning, the Word of God says, God is faithful. He is faithful. And He will not allow you to be tested above that which you're able. Would you say that that's one way to describe your present relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you under His protection today? Are you in His family? Are you a personal possession of God? Do you belong to Him? If not, you can come into that kind of a relationship right now. Today, you can confess your sins to God and say, Lord, I am a sinner, just like the Bible says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none good, no, not one. You can believe that Jesus Christ died to save you. His death on the cross was appropriate, and it was an appropriation for everyone who believes. Anyone who confesses their sin may come to Him. Whosoever. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Whosoever includes you. Believe that Jesus Christ's death on the cross was for you, for your sins, just as it was for the sins of all the world. And you can come into that kind of a relationship where you are secure in God and protected from the enemy by accepting His forgiveness, accepting His spiritual gift of eternal life, accepting His adoption into His family, accepting what Jesus Christ finished for you on the cross of Calvary. Confess your sins, believe that He died for you, accept His forgiveness and His gift of salvation. That's available to you today. If you have any fear at all that you're not in Jesus Christ, that you're not covered by His armor, that you're not under His protection today, that you're not going to live forever. And believers, yours is the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you feel weak, when you feel under attack by the enemy, as I often do, I feel it. I can sense that it's going on. There are three things that we should do. We should call, first of all, right away, we should call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to strengthen us. Remember, He strengthens us the same way He saves us. Our strength is by grace through faith. Call upon the Lord to strengthen you. Cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. It's the Lord's battle. The battle is the Lord's. The Bible says that. And then cover yourself with the protective armor of God, living victoriously to the glory of God through Jesus Christ. Remember, He is faithful. He is faithful. Do what Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 11 and 13. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We have His strength, and we are clothed with His armor, so that we can stand against. Stand firm. Hold your position. How long? Till Jesus comes. Till Jesus comes. Father, thank You for Your strength today, without which I could not even get up here and proclaim these simple truths that we have known since we were children. We've been taught all of our lives about the armor of God, and we're still beginning to understand it. We're still beginning to understand what spiritual warfare is really all about. We're learning all of our lives how strong You are and how weak we are. We're learning that we must not be independent, but totally dependent upon You. We're learning continuously till the day of Jesus Christ that the battle is the Lord's, it's not ours, and the strength is the Lord's, it's not ours. The armor is the Lord's, it's not ours. So, Father, we thank You for all that we have, all the spiritual blessings in spiritual places, in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. And, Father, again, if there should be someone here today who feels unclothed with the armor of God, who feels unprepared for battle, who feels unready to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in the judgment, may they call upon You today and say, "Oh God, for Christ's sake, save me. Save me, dear God. I want to be Your child. I want to be clothed with the armor of God. Oh God, save me." If that's your cry today, if that's your heart desire today, let Him know. Just talk to Him. Say, "Dear Jesus, I'm trusting You for salvation today. I'm asking You today to save me, dear God." If that's your heart's desire and that's your prayer today, let me know about it. Before you leave today, just come up and just let me know. Just tell me, "I made a decision to
asked God to save me today. I got saved this morning. Just let me know that so I can pray for you. In Jesus' name, we ask you, Lord, to do what only God can do during this invitation. Amen.